produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Is full of his glory. We're so happy you've joined us again for another episode, another broadcast of Gems for the Journey, Wisdom from the Word of God. And we're your hosts, Matthew and Stephanie Garrity, and we are founders of Lehigh Valley Worship Center in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, founders and pastors, and founders of River of Heaven Ministries, which is a conduit, one of many conduits in the earth right now that we believe the Lord is working through in mighty ways to bring awakening, revival, refreshing, renewal, new life in Christ to communities, to cities, to regions, to nations for such a time as this. And then obviously our nation, the United States of America, being at the forefront of that. Matter of fact, God's word says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And so the last several broadcasts, we've been talking about this gem of the upper room. And like I've said a few times now, many think of the upper room. When they think of the upper room, they think of Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, where it says in Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, and then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, or the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And so did you catch that? Where were they? They had entered, they went into an upper room, it said in verse 13. In Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and that place was the upper room. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so many theologians, many Bible students, many scholars understand that that is a very widely accepted expression and interpretation of the upper room. I mean, you understand that that is, it says it there in Acts chapter 1 and then Acts chapter 2. Where did the Holy Spirit come? He came to the upper room. But over the last couple episodes, the last couple broadcasts, we've been rediscovering some shadows and types in the New Testament, or the Old Testament, regarding that God was revealing the upper room all throughout Scripture, from all the way from the book of Genesis, where we found Noah in the upper room of the ark, releasing the doves. And then we talked about Daniel in the upper room, praying three times a day towards Jerusalem. We talked about Elijah and the widow in 1 Kings chapter 17. The resurrection power demonstrated of the upper room as the prophet crying out, asking the Lord to revive the widow's son. And the Lord hears the prayer of the prophet and revives the widow's son. We talked about the mystery of the upper room last week in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 10, where Elisha, the understudy of Elijah, visited a Shunammite woman and her husband, and they made for the prophet a small upper room that was located on the wall, and they put a bed for him in there, a table, a chair, and a lampstand. And we talked about how each of those really symbolizes something that we need to understand if we want to have that upper room anointing today. If we want to walk in that upper room anointing, we need to be in unity. We need to be humble. We need to be prayerful. We need to be intimate with the Lord. We need to be understanding that we hunger and thirst for righteousness and that we commune with Him. We need to understand that we rest in Him and that we're seated in the heavenly places with Him in His authority. And also that we have a fear of Him and an understanding that He is coming sooner than we think. Amen. And now, so today I want to look at a different aspect, another prophetic shadow and type, I believe, of the revelation of the upper room, that we need to rediscover throughout Scripture that God was speaking, that this is a concept from Genesis all the way to Acts. And I even believe, you know, the grandest upper room, if you will, is heaven, where it says that there's a great cloud of witnesses where, you know, if you could call it an upper room, but really it's the expanse. It's just this amazing place that the Lord dwells in called heaven. But that's the culmination, I believe, of the revelation of the upper room. But let's key in on one of these other shadows and types today. And that's found in Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 through 17. And so here we find that Moses is the spokesperson for the Lord. That the people, you know, they heard from God and there was this thunderous voice that came down on the mountain and they were afraid. And so they said, oh, we never want to hear from the Lord again. We're scared. Moses, you go. And you go and you hear from the Lord and you come talk to us then. And really we see a picture of the prophet of God. The prophet speaks from God, from the Lord, to the people. And then the other side of that, really an intercessor is someone who speaks on behalf of the people to God. There's a whole other teaching for another time, talked about the ministry of the prophet, the ministry of the intercessor, the ministry of the priest, and the king. But all these things are really together and intertwined. So Moses was a great prophet of God. And it says in Exodus chapter 24, starting in verse 12, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has difficulty, let him go to them. Then Moses went up into the mountain. Key verse, verse 15. They went where? It said they went up, but they went where? Into the mountain. And a cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of where? The midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like the consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Uramansha tabakasa. Lord, I thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, may you bring us from the deep things of the Father, for you search the deep things, even the deep things of the Father, and you bring them to us. And so we just bless you. We thank you. Holy Spirit, teach us your word today in Jesus' name. And so as we explore this, I call this the glory of the upper room. We, you know, we just read Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, where Holy Spirit came down and he descended from on high. He came down as a mighty rushing wind. He filled the whole house. There was fire. There was glory. All these things really culminated in the birth of the New Testament church. But did you know that in Exodus chapter 24, I believe what we have is a shadow and a type of Pentecost. What's interesting is that this happened right around the time of the Feast of Pentecost, when the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain. And we know that it was Pentecost, obviously the Feast of Pentecost, where everyone was gathered outside. They were gathered all around. There were people from all these nations in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. And then God fulfilled Pentecost by pouring out his Spirit, which fulfilled the prophecy from Joel. After this, I will pour my Spirit on all flesh, and you will prophesy, sons and daughters, all these things. And so after the Spirit of God was poured out in that manifest move of God, everyone came stumbling out of the upper room, and they began to preach. And Peter preached to all those around, the Jews and the Elamites and Mesopotamia and Cretans and Arabs. They were all there for what? They were all there for Pentecost at that very moment. And so we look, and there's all these different, you know, groups that God has called over the years, really, as Gentiles who are non-Jewish people. But we have the same type of thing going on here in Exodus chapter 24. Because you've got the people of God, they came out from Egypt in captivity, and it says that they brought with them not just the Hebrew people, but there were others with them. There were others that they would call aliens that were with them, that had come out with them, that were not loyal to Egypt. And we know the saying that it took a very short time for them to be delivered out of Egypt, across into the wilderness, but it took a longer time to get Egypt out of them, because they had been in that bondage for 400 years. And so we find again in Exodus chapter 24, as we read a bit earlier, that God said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there. And I will give you tablets of stone and the law of the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. And so Moses arose with his assistant Joshua. Moses went up to the mountain of God. And when he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has difficulty, let him go to them. But then Moses, in verse 15, Moses went up into the mountain. Jesus told them to go up into the upper room and wait. I find this text very interesting, because it doesn't just say that Moses went up to the mountain, up on the mountain, but he went into the mountain. God had actually hewn out a space in the mountain for Moses to go into. And we know later on in the word we read in Exodus that God actually hewed out what's called the cleft of the rock. He hewed out a place for Moses, you know, that Moses so famously says later on in scripture. He says to the Lord, show me your glory. But God had already cut a place out for him, and he was able to place Moses in the cleft of the rock. And so that's what we see here in 15. It says Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. We know in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came, and he was like what? A mighty rushing wind. That word in the Greek is pneuma. It speaks of the wind. It speaks of the Spirit. It speaks of a cloud. It speaks of breath. It's all intertwined. Verse 16, now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And so again, there was waiting. The people were told to wait in the upper room, to wait until the promise from the Father came, to wait until the manifest presence of God came, until they were touched by God. And we find here also in Exodus chapter 24 that they're waiting upon the Lord. Moses is waiting and resting in him. Verse 17, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And what do we see in Acts chapter 2? There was fire, cloven tongues of fire landed on each of the followers of Christ, all 120 in the upper room. And they were filled, and they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Look at verse 18 here. It says, so Moses went where? Into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Now, beloved, I'm telling you that we need to understand that it was not just Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, but there has been a concept, like I said, from Genesis all the way to Revelation regarding the upper room, regarding this understanding that God always calls his people, he calls his leaders, he calls his generals up to the mountain and into the mountain. Amen. And so We as the people of God, if we want to walk in this anointing of the upper room, if we want to walk in this revelation and power of the upper room, many cry out, oh, we need a new Pentecost. I want to suggest to you that we need to rediscover Pentecost. We need to rediscover the upper room. We need to rediscover the elements of the upper room. And we can find some right here in Exodus chapter 24. We'll read it again in verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there. And I will give you tablets of stone and the law, commandments which I have written. We need to be a people of the word. We need to be a people that's ready to receive the word if we want to walk in that upper room anointing, that you may teach them. We need to be a people that can receive the word with gladness. Verse 13, so Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. There's unity there. There's a picture of the younger generation with the older generation. Joshua was to be is the understudy of Moses, and he's then to take over for Moses when Moses goes on to be with the Lord, really because of an error he made at Kadesh, which we find in Numbers chapter 20. But anyway, there is a unity, and there's a turning of the hearts of the fathers to the sons here, and also the turning of the sons to the fathers. As it talks about, that really is the spirit of Elijah, the spirit and power of Elijah that helps to do this. But we find even this present here, that there is a multi-generational move going up the mountain in unity. And in verse 14, he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has difficulty, let him go to them. And so what else do we see here? We see a delegation of authority. We see an understanding of an apostolic order. And like, in other words, Moses, it wasn't just rising and falling on Moses, but he had his understudy Joshua with him. But notice then there was still an opportunity for the people to take their causes, their problems, and their cases before the others in the work of the Lord. But we know that kind of came as an issue later on, because Aaron kind of got corrupted a little bit there with the golden calf. Then it says, verse 15, that then Moses went up into the mountain. Moses was obedient. And where did he go? He went in. He didn't just come up, but he went in. There needs to be an intimacy. There needs to be a willingness not just to go up, but to go in. There needs to be a willingness not just to go up, but just to go into the presence of God. Be in the shadow of the Almighty. Be under the shadow of God's wings. The understanding is proximity. Proximity to the Lord. Close. Obedience. Closeness. Intimacy with Him. It's a mark of the upper room. And it said, a cloud covered the mountain, which speaks of the wind of the Spirit. We talked about that. Verse 16. Now the glory of the Lord rested upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses. So we need another element is to wait on the Lord. We must be a people that have patience, have long suffering. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. We must learn to wait upon the Lord and not be anxious, not try to get God to do what we want Him to do. He is not a genie. I've said this before. We can't rub a lamp because He doesn't live in a lamp, and we can't command Him to come out and give us infinite prayer requests. No, 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 no. He is the Lord God Almighty, and we don't pray to get Him to do anything. We pray to come into alignment with what He already said was His desire to have, and that's His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we need to wait and rest upon Him and then be able to say, okay, Lord, I'm listening now. What is it that you have to say? What's on your heart? If we want to walk in that upper room anointing, we need to be a people who hear the voice of God because we're patient and we wait upon Him. Verse 17, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses is on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. We have got to be willing to stay the course. Not just stay for a little bit. Not just go from one church to another church. From one conference to another conference. Find a prophet here and go find another prophet. No, no, no. We need to be consistent on and in the mountain. We need to be consistent on and in the presence of God. Hallelujah. We need to be consistent in our walk with the Lord. Hallelujah. And so later then we look in Exodus chapter 25 through 31 chapters. We find that God gives Moses the law and the commandments. Exodus chapter 32 can be characterized as the golden calf chapter, because Moses comes down from the mountain and he begins to preach, repent. It's interesting because Peter did the same thing in Acts chapter 2 when they came out of the upper room and Peter began to speak to the people to repent and believe. And he said things like, "You crucified him." He was calling the people to repentance. But then I want to look at Exodus chapter 33, because this is really where God says, "Okay, Moses, now you came up and into the mountain, but this is where the Lord says, now I've prepared a place for you, and now you're going to begin to understand what it is to walk in that anointing of the upper room." Where God says, "I've got a place by my side, a cleft, an entrenchment, a hewn out space in the mountain." Some may say the upper room. And it says this in Exodus chapter 33, starting in verse 1. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Depart and go up from here, you and the people who you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it, and I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite.'" Verse 3, "Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." And when the people heard the bad news, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments, for the Lord had said to Moses, "Say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now therefore, take off your ornaments, that I may know what to do to you." So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. Verse 7, "And Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that a pillar of cloud descended and stood upon the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked there with Moses." Verse 10, "And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle." Verse 12, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people.' And he said, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.' And he said to him, 'If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth.'" There was a deep consecration. Verse 17, "So the Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. And I know you by name.'" And verse 18, and this is what I want to key in on here. Verse 18, he says, "Then please show me your glory." 19, he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Verse 20, "But he said, 'You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live.' And the Lord said, 'Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. And so it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you where? In the cleft of the rock. I will put you where? In the upper room. I will put you where? In a place where I have made, I have carved out, I have directed you to go to. And I will what? Cover you with my hand while I pass by. And then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen.'" Oh, shatarabashotoko shayata. Hallelujah. And verse 30, Exodus chapter 34, verse 1. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke.' Verse 2, 'So be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain.' So he cut the tablets of stone like the first ones. And then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took his hand, the two tablets of stone. And now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. and proclaim the name of the Lord. He proclaimed his name, Yahweh. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And then he said, now if I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. Hallelujah. The Hebrew word, the cleft of the rock, is the word selah. The word selah, it's the word found in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, where it says, and he said, the Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer. The best example of Sela is the 4th century, the capital of a kingdom known as Petra. It's a city literally built out of a stone mountain, and the inhabitants were able to successfully repel enemy attacks by utilizing the area's mountain terrain. In ancient times, people would run for the mountains when the army was coming to attack. The one achieving the highest ground often had the best defense. And this is where we get the old saying, head for the hills. Sela is a cleft or an opening made by a split or fissure in a mountain. It was one of the safest places to hide in early times. And friends, beloved, it is still on the mountain of the Lord where it's provided, as God said to Abraham, and even as he said to Moses, there is a place here by me that I have hewn out for you. I have hewn out for you a place. I've hewn out for you a fortification. I've hewn out for you, Moses, what? An upper room. An upper room. And so, friends, God bless you today. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for all the nations listening today, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for this continuous revelation of the upper room, this continuous revelation, oh God, of what you culminated with the birth of the New Testament church when you poured out your spirit, oh God, in Acts chapter 2. And the world was never the same. And oh God, I thank you for your wisdom and your revelation that we might rediscover the upper room, rediscover all the elements, oh God, and what it's like to begin to learn to walk in that anointing of the upper room. And like I said before, where many would be calling out for Pentecost. If that's you, if you've been calling out for a new Pentecost, I want you to think about this. Why don't you just rediscover Pentecost? Rediscover what God already said in his word. Rediscover the characteristics of walking and actually becoming a move of God. Many would ask the Lord, oh Lord, move, we need a move of God. And I hear the Lord saying, you are my move. You are the move of God. Rediscover and understand what my word says. Begin to yield to me in that area, and you shall have that anointing to walk even as those in the early church walked. For I say that you shall do greater things even than I did when I was upon the earth. For my body is many-membered, multicultural and diverse for such a time as this, to drive out darkness and to steer people to me as the light of their salvation, as the light of the world, says the Lord.
You can connect with us by going to our website, www.riveroftheaven.org, and clicking on the Contact Us tab. At this website, you can also support us by becoming a prayer partner with us as well, and also becoming a financial partner. Matthew has also recently published his first book, Holy Spirit, the Sevenfold Spirit of God. You can find more information on how to purchase this book on our website. The book is also available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple iBooks, and wherever other books are sold. If the bookstore does not have the book in stock, you can have them order it for you. We are currently hosting a prayer strike for our nation, the United States of America. We're praying every day for 50 days for our nation, each day focusing on one state. For more information about this and to join the prayer strike with us, check out our River of Heaven Ministries Facebook page.
We just want to say thank you again for listening to this broadcast. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you, and may he give you his peace. Until next time, rediscover that upper room, and rediscover the gems for the journey, the wisdom from the Word of God.
We sing holy, we sing holy, we sing holy.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
This is Minister Brenda Litsolenyane Inspirational Talk on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett.
Good afternoon, good day, good morning, saints, wherever you are, whatever time you find to engage with the Word of God, may the God of peace shower you with His presence. I dispatch the holy angels wherever you are right now in the name of Jesus. I declare and I decree that you will never fail to hear the voice of God in the midst of all the voices and all the messages that will come through to your ears today. I declare and I decree only the truth of God shall prevail in your life in the name of Jesus. Be reminded of the song, Hallelujah, praise Jesus. You know why? It's when you have reached a stage of understanding that is good, understanding that is great, understanding that He is gracious. You do find yourself trapped, asking yourself, I think some of you might say, I'm carrying the weight, a heavy load on my shoulders. I don't know how to deal with this matter. Let me tell you, it is a riddle that can only be fixed by your Creator. I mean, if He says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, when you are saying to me you are only a child, yeah, but now I'm saying you must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. So God knows when He sends you to particular, to specific environments, He has already, you know, endowed you with so much wealth that you are able to speak and release the Rema word. Praise Jesus. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you. So if you really choose not to be threatened, you know, threatened by what happens if you don't share this word. Because when you don't share this word, it means all that which I've designed you for will collapse, because I am the potter, you are the clay. So I had initially planned, now you will be able to deal with that situation. Why wanna situation ke situation ngwana morena tseding ke di situation tsa re wa tseba ngwana Yesu ha tshintsha ke tsebuetsa lang ka yena o ghetile bophelo bo bong fela ke tsebuetsa lang ka ke situation engwe ka bare bereness ingata bophelo mbaka jole ka Isaiah 54 icho ingata bophelo mbaka ha ona nthoetsa halang ne ke nane hore kana kwa ke tlabe se ke dutsi se ke na le motso wa ka se ke na le bana ba ka empa ha ke na le molekani wa ka empa ha ona ntho e lokang situation dingata mona hore I once got disappointed by person A in my life and I thought a ke gawana le yena you know ke kena mo relationshiping ena no hutlo ba right empa ho be right didingata I once ke sebedisana le bomam projecting a itseng eh ka investor di chalete tsa ka kana no ro tla ba right azang bona ke morwalo o ile re modimo wa tseba re wena o tla gona ho jara that's why re se fapana sene ke tla se jara o njarisa o le kapelaka o njarisa u ho timele bonna ho tswale bo wena le o siteng ha ka o ntshwarele hallelujah praise Jesus because o siteng ha rona ke a re bua dintho tse re sa ditsebeng go modimo e mapele jwalo ka Jeremiah a tshwele Jeremiah le yena wile a tshwere e man wena tate modimo you deceived me and ntho e bohloko re ntate modimo I was deceived ko chapter 20 yo you overpowered me and prevailed. Maybe what you are, Mudim, when the way no work at thing, for I, the Lord, am with you. Hey, I will save you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. I am your Redeemer. What you are, Mudim, whatever you deceived me, you overpowered me and prevailed. I'm ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Mhlomulo wena o tshojaro tsho mdim everybody wants here jano but wena o itse o tla nkisa di chabe eh and tate mdim mara ke ska tshaba I'm with you and I will rescue you go chapter 1 verse 8 ore I will rescue you and then mudimu wila etsa something out of that ore lentso le then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me now I have put my words in your mouth see today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down to destroy and overthrow to build and to plant ke batla go taba ena you know the Lord reached out to his hand and touched his mouth and the word put words in his mouth so it means mudimo ga a u bitse o le empty mudimo wa o tlatsa praise you Jesus I want you to release that is why lentsilele ko Jeremiah le mochisetsang hobane mosebetsi wa lona ko re letswe ha le satswe le tla o lematsa praise you Jesus So Elijah watch utlakere Elijah Jeremiah praise Jesus o experience that impartation by God mudimo ore now I've put my words in your mouth wabana now it's what it's an assurance I've done that you know it's like a contractual agreement I've done this I'm not asking you to do anything I understand that you are a child mudimo akacha wena ko wena to that ke understand or so give up ke understand or batlomplela ka dijaratsa o batlomplela ka position ya family o batlomplela nthotsengata mari nna ke re ko wena I had already put my words in your mouth. You need to know how to release the bullets from this rifle. Praise you, Jesus. Because there's something ailing or go khetetsi on. Utlo release the bullets. Mwana na kere ngudi release. Ooh, hallelujah. It's all how little builder, little planter. Mwana na ke batlang hore o etse jwalo. Praise you, Jesus. Or now I've put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you. Imagine. Over nations. I've appointed you over that situation. That situation is like mubuto. Praise you, Jesus. It's like an army that is rising against you. It's like a kingdom. But I'm sending you. Hey, Lord, thank you, Jesus. If you have been appointed, you know, over nations, you have been appointed over kingdoms. God for that situation. They get out of the nations, the kingdoms. But to uproot, you know, look at a plant. When you've got a plant, you cannot just plant. I'm reminded. Yesterday I was revamping or reinventing my garden. So a lot of lessons came out of that activity. So when you uproot, you need to start removing those weeds. I care utlo tlosa di weeds itele. All right, man, let me uproot these weeds. And what are you going to do with those weeds? You're going to tear them down. You're going to destroy them. You're going to overthrow them. And after more time, you're going to plant. You're going to build. Meaning that ujala ntotse pila njwano. So ntate mujim. Urukowen. Kurumila, unfortunately. Urukutisivila kautisiva. Or usitheisa ho ya ka nna usithe sa mamela voice ya satan satan tla dilantsa u jwetsa maka hore nna ke u yentseng ko yentseng ke strategy sa hae strategy sa iko re anqabantsele bana ba ka ne bana ba ka ba turn against nna and purpose ya bona se ka ba fulfilled ba sokolo lo feta or the word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree. I replied, the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Our case closed. Case closed. You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Praise you, Jesus. The Lord will. Philippians 1:6, he who begins a good thing shall surely finish it. Ha'ari, this is what you are, and this is what you are going to achieve, and this is what you are going to do. And I've put words in my mouth, and I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. I don't know what to say. I'm so encouraged. So, kibatlobotsa potso ene le mang ona tshwantsa fete mo. Modimo o etsa gore re fete mo gore re tle gone ba di testimonies o tle kopana le batho ba fetile mo fetang teng wena ya areng a ke gone ho ba le molekane modimo tla ho fetisa our nations kingdoms to tla gona gore o di gothatse o ba blelle gore bona nna ke bone modimo entse le molekane waka ba o ba nyetseng o sentse no tla gona jo tsa basadi ba bang ba nyetseng ka pa bontate ba bang ba nyetseng o re e lenyalo la mampelampela ke a u bea Jesu pele o bea morena wa rona pele ene bo latela wena o jo tse bontate re ke number 2 Jesu ke number 1 a ke mo a re tsweng re go chapter 20 verse 11 ere but the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. So even if when you hear terror, they are saying so much, negative, so many negative words against you, you know, the scorning, you know, the mockeries, everything, the whisperings of evil, but Mudimo is with you. Kirata Jeremiah Khotats. But the Lord is with me. Kikopa today lwena ore the Lord is with me. Thank you, Jesus. Ore uyangithanda like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fall and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Just wait upon the Lord. He will renew your strength. Thank you, Jesus. Modimo a hlonolo fatshe a o fe matla a o rose matla Jesus. Stay blessed. Good morning, good day, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever time you get to listen to the audio. May the Lord help you to have a spirit of discernment, a revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and the fear of the Lord, so that you don't just read or listen to this audio and disregard His voice. Because as I speak, you need to sift between what Brenda is saying and what the Lord is saying. There is a rhema word that God is going to be saying to you. Hallelujah. We miss these finer details, but we miss those finer details when God speaks and we cannot understand. That is why the word says, I speak. God speaks word by word, line by line, you know, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. Praise Jesus. Why? So that we get to combine these dots, to connect these dots and begin to understand what the Lord is saying to us. But when you are trapped in what we know, this is how I deal with the word. Oh, this is irrelevant. You won't survive. Remember, you know, when I told you that in the past days I was singing a song, this song airing, you know, this is the song that I used to sing, and the Lord was showing me how naive we sometimes are as children of God. Arekhone go tap into the newness of things, because that song, as God was showing us, yes, you have been running with this oil, it's stinking now. This oil is not going to help you. I want to grant you new oil, praise Jesus, new wine. But I'm looking for people that will be able to stretch themselves. Isaiah 54. Because if you're not going to stretch yourself, how am I going to work in you? How am I going to work through you? How am I going to operate through you? How am I going to touch lives through you? So I'm looking for people that will be able to stand, praise Jesus, and say, Lord, siyakuzwa, siyakuzwa, I'm going to do this for you, praise Jesus. So if we can just forget about what we know, White King, what we used to do, in different forms, in different settings. But God is not interested with what we have done. But God is saying today, I want you to go back to Isaiah 42. And this is what I'm saying to you, my children. Verse 5. I'm going to start from verse 1 and let's run together. Where I skip the important things, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Maybe the Holy Spirit will know about verse 1, maybe 3, 5, just like that. That's how you understand the presence of the Lord or the voice of God. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I'll put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. Hear the song here. Every time I feel the spirit move, every time I feel the promptings, when I ukai shaba jwalor, every time there is a prompting in the spirit for me to pray, every time there is a prompting in the spirit for me to read the word, the prompting in me to obey the voice of God, to pray for nations, to do A, B, C, D, I will respond. So there is no response to the promptings when you've got no relationship with God. And God is calling unto us, eh, tlaketla guruta, ketla tsamalo wena baby steps. Tlwele di gurus, tlwela ba o tla o jetsang ka 10 days, 40 days. Ke teng, ke tlo tsamalo wena. A ke move ke gore how many days, ke move a ke pelo. Eh, tla ngwana ka ke tlo o thusa. So or I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations. Wa bona like when you respond nje, uNkulunkulu unomsebenzi ngempilo yakho. The day you say, yes, Lord, I'm available. You know, this song speaks about Psalm 51. David say, create in me a clean heart, you know, and renew in me a steadfast spirit. So, Uri, cast not thy presence away from me. Restore the joy of my salvation. Just read Psalm 51. So, this is an indication that the Lord is more moved by hearts. You know, service the Lord wants. But God says the sacrifice that I want are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's what I want. Everybody can serve. Every person can say, I've got resources. But Mina, I'm looking for people that will sacrifice their hearts. Who will say, prepare me to be a sanctuary unto you, Lord. Oracle verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break. Wabana. When you are a bruised reed, letlaka. I get it, the scripture says, "Na, I will not what? I'm a vine," because John 15. I'm the vine and you are the branches. So the reed that is bruised, Mudimu will not break. And a smoldering wick you will not snuff out. Wabona, you are trying to bubble with light. Gangan, gangan. The Lord says, I will not snuff you out. I will do that to the Moabites, to your enemies. Rebadi Lekov chapter 43, last time. And I will do it to your enemies. I will destroy them. But when you smoldering wick, I will not snuff you out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. Wabona? He will not falter. Ase mudimo ba renga I went a pause. Mudimo I nka go lahlile network. A ke re dina lotsho jwana. Ase re tloela dinthotsi. Ori he will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. Hallelujah. Till he establishes, kerata that part, justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. So bona island when I'm dim ke batla go thatsa go tlhoko go tlhoko. I know gore I've gone through that in the past days. Tears were just rolling down my face uncontrollably. Gona le ntotsa le a re di tlhaloganye mara modimo a di itse yena, but modimo re bona ke tla restore, you know, a ke modimo etsa ndiphoso ke tshela ka is not a fallible God. He's infallible. Until your righteousness is established, this is what I'll do. Not in heaven. Are justice on earth. How about two? He establishes justice where? On earth. Praise to Jesus. Mamela fail. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Tamalin. Kamuena, Rinserita, Bela. Resapila amonati ka babalo ya hantati.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Jesus, resapila amonati ka babalo ya hantati. Ria hubo ka morena rinzerita bela wena. Resapila amonati ka babalo ya tate. Jesus. Batseba keng o worshipe go sa dumele. O worshipe go sa dumele o tla verse 2 ireng. This time I'm play this song. Iri you will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. He will only raise his voice unto the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, the Spirit of the Lord. We don't shout out or cry out or raise a voice in the streets. The Lord will also not do that to us. He will not shout us because we are a bruised reed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. Butabela. Seudira tanka fela. Jesus, salaba sataraba shendere de sika. Hey. Jesus. Amen. Hey, yo, guys. Auna ya tshwana le yena, man. Hey. Jesus. Katlelwa ke matla. Jesus, katlelwa ke matla. I don't know what to say. Yeah, the verse 12 of chapter 42, Isaiah. The Lord will march out. Let's start with 12. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. Jesus, katlelwa ke matla. Oriko, verse 11. Let the desert and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where the Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout. from the mountaintops. Thank you, Jesus. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know why we do that? Go verse 13. The Lord says, the Lord will march out like a mighty man, like a warrior. My favorite scripture. He will stir up his zeal. Hey, other versions, they say he will stir up his anger. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. So nkulunkulu uthi wena cula 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 re ya uboka morena re ntse re phila. Hallelujah. Ha una ya tswana le wena. Have a war cry, because God is about to march out like a mighty man, like a warrior. He's going to stir up his zeal. He's doing it right now in Jesus' name. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. Uri, for a long time I've kept silent. I've been quiet, man, and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. Woo, Jesus! I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all the
This was Inspirational Talk by Minister Brenda Litsolenyane, produced by Kayla Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day, everyone. You're listening to United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chief Ambassador Chi, all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa, and welcome to this broadcast today.
Brothers and sisters, we are afforded this time again to share the word with you. Indeed, we are thankful for this opportunity, waking up again is another opportunity to do right, correct those in our lives where they're crooked and are not pleasing to the Father. So let us encourage one another and pray for one another instead of broadcasting each other's weaknesses out there for the public to display and to gossip. Please keep us in your prayers, including our family members, as we ourselves keep you all and your family members in prayer. Let's keep the chain going, especially through these times we're living in, where a lot of people, and this is not a way to use this platform as a way to settle the score with anyone, but indeed this global pandemic, or some will call it a political pandemic to regulate the world, this is where you see that some people were not really rooted in the faith. Some people hear the word, go with it. When storms come, they forget the word. Some people are like the seeds of the throne, and the birds took it and fed themselves. And some were those seeds where they grew and they were choked up. And some were those who were planted and grew, and when the storms came, they had no roots, so they were taken away or estuary by the storm. A lot of even your spiritual leaders have been exposed through this pandemic. And the idea here is not to expose, but just to make you introspect, to walk with God, to check if you are in line with the Word of God, or you are just followers of a man who has a lot of opinions about salvation, instead of opening the Word and practicing what he hears from the Word, and not just a projector of the Word, or some of them not even close to being projectors of the Word, but being projectors of their own opinions. Let's talk about foundations. And I don't have a specific topic concerning foundation. I'm just placing foundation as a whole, be it foundation in family legacy, foundation in relationships, be it foundation in your walk or what you think you have with God. Foundation in being whatever it may be. Isn't it interesting that it seems like the wicked, those who are evil, it seems like they get away with things. It seems like they are invincible. It seems like there is no justice. According to Psalms 92, let us open Psalms 92, or in fact, let me read it for you. It says, okay, sorry about that. Almost mixed scriptures. Psalms 92 verse 7 says, excuse me, that though the wicked sprout up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forever. Let's read that again, verse 7 and verse 8. That though the wicked sprout up, like grass, and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. Verse 8, but you, Lord, are on high forevermore. So, the scripture simply explains itself. No one gets away with evil. They shall all be destroyed. Isn't it interesting how movies have a way of portraying mob leaders and mobsters as if they are invincible, as if they are a ball? Isn't it interesting how, I know this sounds crazy, not that I developed a fascination, but just to watching these YouTube interviews of former mob workers, and this interviewer, this is what this interview would do. He would interview these mob leaders or people who used to work in the mob, or workers, mobsters, or gangsters, yeah, let's call it that. Mafias, gangsters, whatever you want to call it. So he would show a movie or a certain scene of the movie and ask this man who used to live the life and ask them, how would you rate this? Is it close to the truth or is it just fictional? And there they would, you know, I mean, they're from the world. I mean, from the belly of the beast. They'll be telling you it's close enough, or this is completely blown out of proportion, or there is no ways they will do that. That's a lot of work, or that's clumsy, you know. But you see, then something happened in an interview with this man. I can't mention his name. He's not a man of God. He said, oh, by the way, he has dumped the life. He, after being released from prison, he found Christ, and he's been living the ways of Christ for a while now, which is to show you that the Lord is good. He said, at some point, he made from this specific business and with evading tax and all that, $8 million in a week. And this is just from this specific business venture. But now, here's the thing. He said, putting yourself inside of those circles or in or associating with those circles is being completely selfish. You're putting not yourself, but you're putting your loved ones through a traumatic experience. Be it their lives not being in danger, but I mean, putting yourself through that. And he says, there's really nothing to fall back upon with that kind of a life, you know. There's only two places you end up with that life. It's either in prison or in the grave, or dying in vain. But here's the thing. That's the funny thing. Movies never show you that. They only show Al Pacino or Robert De Niro. Oh, this other guy, is it Charles? I forgot his other name. All these men, you know, who portray these characters of these notorious mafia bosses as invincible. They're always alive, they're always rich, you know, and all that. And forgetting that these people are just actors. The truth of the matter is, there's nothing to fall back upon such a life, because its foundation is not right with God. Its foundation cannot be built on God. But now, in the same way, these rich families, a lot of them, I won't mention who is this specific one, who you can evidently see is an antichrist, who's demanding that people get vaccines. A lot of these people, look, it's questionable how they get their wealth. But then, the way they have so much wealth, it looks like they'll never hit rock bottom. But isn't it funny how their families are struck with mysterious diseases or die mysterious deaths? Psalms 92 clearly states, though the wicked may flourish, they shall be destroyed. No one is invincible. It's important what foundations you lay for yourself, for your family, and for anything. I mean, let's even check it out with the celebrities who sell their souls to the devil, accumulate the wealth or amass wealth, and they think that they can just walk away from their master. Become scandalized. Their image gets assassinated, or what you say, scandalizing. Some of them even die in the process, or some of them lose family members. It matters what you have as your foundation. I mean, even in relationships. I heard this young lady many years ago, trying to prove a useless point, but which was in vain, because there was no point proven. She ended up with an egg in her face. She said she heard people who kept saying, if you give your boyfriend milk without letting him pay for the milk, he'll never marry you. And look, here she is right now. She's married. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, ooh, okay, this person is clearly deceived in her own ways. We count, or not even count, many years down the line, within the same year, her husband has been into multiple affairs, and their marriage has been on rocks, you know, it's been on and off. I mean, you start your foundation on this man living without boundaries. Now that he has this person, he's used to living without boundaries. He's going to go out there and seek for things he can do that are out of line. I see with some parents nowadays who let their kids get away with anything. How do you make a child who's not even 5 years of age take decisions on their own? You don't reprimand them, and you take offense when other people reprimand your child. You say you're trying to let your child find themselves. Which baby finds themselves without being taught anything? And then when he's an adult, or he or she's an adult, and they're in prison or dead, you're going to say the child was a good child. You don't know what went wrong. The foundations you lay. The Bible says, don't spare the rod on the child. If you love your child, don't spare the rod on them. There are certain things I desired as a child that was just not in the interest of my parents to afford me that. And I had to adjust. Not even adjust. I had to learn, because you can't adjust as a child, you learn. Especially concerning do's and don'ts. You adjust as an adult. I had to learn that there are certain things, even though I may desire them, I may feel that I deserve them, I just cannot have them. Which has taken me far in this short space of time in life. There are certain things I really desired even as an adult, but then the Holy Spirit would tell me it's not in my interest to pursue this specific thing. And I had to learn to do without it. It all boils back to the foundation that was laid when I was a child. Had I not been taught no as a child, I would be either in the grave prematurely or in prison. It's important on the foundations you lay for anything, be it whatever it may be, marriage, business, parenting, whatever it may be. Isn't it funny though, going back to the movies, how these movies that are based on true stories or real life events, this man or whoever this person is comes from humble beginnings. They find their way and they make it with evil activities. And it looks like at some point of their life, things will never backfire. Things will never take a 360 turn. And then towards the end of the movie, I don't know, maybe this is just me, or this is just myself. I'll be thinking, but it was better off that you just kept away from this whole thing than going through this roller coaster, emotional roller coaster, and go back to where you were than just to be where you were. And, you know, even if you were to be in a humble state for the rest of your life, better that than going through this roller coaster and now in the process destroying people's lives. Maybe this is just me, but then here's the thing. I'll be thinking to myself, it was better off that they just, you know, started off, or they just remained on where they were, and if they succeeded, they would have to do it the right way. If they didn't, well, I mean, look, this place is not our home. This earth is not our home. That to destroy people's lives in the process and go back to where you used to be, or where you used to be, you know? But then it boils back to foundations. Isn't it funny, in these movies, they show you how these men or women don't live in peace. They should always be on the lookout for cops. They should always be on the lookout for Secret Service, or, you know, these agencies that are not regulated by the government. They're always, oh, if it's not that, they should always be on the lookout for their enemies. Why put yourself through that? Why put yourself on that rocky foundation, on that foundation which is sand, which that foundation is not the rock of our salvation? Why put yourself through that? Now let's go to a word of scripture talking about foundations. And I will start from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11. Excuse me. And it reads as follows. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let's read that again. No one, excuse me, can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And let's open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah 28 verse 16. Isaiah 28 verse 16. And it reads as follows. Therefore the Lord God says this, listen carefully. I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. He who believes will not be disturbed or give way. Let us open our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 7 verse 24. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24. Excuse me. It reads as follows. So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be a man who built his house on the rock. 25 says, and the rain fell, and the floods and torrents came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it has been founded on the rock. And And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the rain and the floods and torrents came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great and complete was its fall. Let us open our Bibles to the book of Second Samuel, chapter 22, verse 47. Second Samuel 22, verse 47, reads as follows. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be my the rock of my salvation. Psalm 18, verse 21. For I kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. And let us read, Acts chapter 4, verse 11. This Jesus is the stone which was despised and rejected by you builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. So, believers in Christ, let us revisit our foundations and break down the walls of any thing that we may have built that is not rooted in God. Trust me, you will not regret this.
Well, that's all we had time for today. Let us meet next week, same time, same place, the Lord willing. This is your radio station, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chikoti, all the way from Joburg, South Africa. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.